So I need to call Dr. Shinwa In from University of Tennessee. Thank you for waiting. Dr. In is going to talk about crop nutrition and productivity under long-term cover crops, crop rotations, and no-tillage systems.
Good morning. I'm a crop system research specialist at UT. And first, I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, Don Tyler, Fred Allen, Angela McClure, for their contributions to this project. Cover crops have gained a lot of attention during the past several years. Why? Simply because it has a lot of benefits over no-cover cropping. For example, it can reduce soil erosion, improve soil quality and structure, decrease weed, pest, and disease incidences, mitigate underground water contamination, and reduce production costs. On the other side, crop rotation also has a lot of advantages over monoculture. It can improve soil health and productivity, distribute economic risks and workload, improve internal resource utilization, and reduce impacts of pests and pathogens. Conservation tillage, based on the CTSC, the website, a list of 10 benefits is listed for conservation tillage, conservation tillage over conventional tillage, such as reduce soil erosion, save labor and machinery, reduce energy requirement, improve water availability, soil tilth, etc. So there are lots of benefits for using cover crops, crop rotations, and conservation tillage. At UT, we have three long-term studies related to cover crops, crop rotations, and conservation tillage, and their interactions. So about 3 years ago, we started a project to look at the whole range of properties, basically the predicate soil health assessment on those factors, about those factors on soil health, soil quality. So basically we had two objectives. First is to look at the long-term impacts of these three factors and their impacts on soil chemical, physical, and biological properties and their relationships with nutrient cycling, water availability, and crop production. Also, to look at the differences in nutrient and available water holding capacity of soil systems with long-term no-tillage plus cover crop and compared with tilled systems with no cover crop. So the first long-term study we used was a tillage, cover crop, and nitrogen rate study. It was established by Dr. Don Tyler since 1981. We only selected 6 treatments for this study. It was an incomplete combination of 3 factors: 2 tillage systems, 3 cover crops, and 2 nitrogen rates. The second one was a soybean tillage study, also established by Don since 1984. We used 3 treatments only for this project: mobile plow at the control, no-till, no-till plus a cover crop of 1-to-weight. The third one was a crop rotation and cover crop study established by Dr. Fred Allen since 2002. And we selected six crop rotations involving three crops. All those were under no cover to look at the crop rotation effects. Sampling and measurements, we did three types of leaf sampling, whole plant biomass at maturity, yields and quality for each crop, seed and grain samples, nutrient concentrations in different plant tissue samples. Also, we calculate nutrient uptake and removal. Also, we have some other colleagues and graduate students doing the physical, chemical, and biological properties. So basically, it's really a pretty complete soil quality assessment. Now let's look at some of the results. This is leaf sulfur concentration in relation to cover crops. You can see here, both the heavy rich and the 1-to-weight increase the leaf sulfur concentration compared with the no cover crop, averaged over the 2 tillage systems and 2 years. And we saw the same trend for each individual year data, the same thing. So why? I thought probably because the cover crops took up quite sulfur from the soil profile during the winter. And those sulfur was incorporated in the plant biomass mainly as proteins. So when the cover crop was killed and the following crop cutting was planted, the sulfur in proteins in the cover crop and residues could easily be decomposed and be available for cutting to uptake. So that probably was the reason why cover crops can improve sulfur nutrition for the following cutting crop. Leaf manganese and nutrition. Here you can see no-till increased leaf manganese concentration in cotton at early bloom and mid bloom, but not at late bloom. And we saw the same trend from each individual year data. And the possible explanation for this was no-till kept, you know, more moisture in the soil profile. And more moisture actually increased manganese availability in the soil and increased the uptake by the plant, and probably increased the leaf manganese concentration at early and mid-growing season. And also look at the cover crop effects on manganese. Basically, the heavy rich had a lower manganese level in the plant tissue compared with 1-to-weight. And possible interpretation for this difference was 1-to-weight had more biomass, and the biomass of 1-to-weight was more difficult to be decomposed compared with heavy rich. So during the early growing season of cotton, the 1-to-weight cover crop treatment had more residue on the soil surface, and it kept more moisture in the soil profile, and the same thing increased the uptake of manganese and leaf manganese level in the plant tissue. Yields, you can see here, really low-till consistently had much higher yields than conventional tillage, averaged over the three cover crop treatments and the 2 years. I mean, this is expected in Tennessee. That is why no-till is very popular in our state. Actually, about 80% of corn and soybean acres and 60% of cotton acres are under no-till management in our state. Another study, soybean tillage. Here you can see leaf lichen concentration was significantly reduced by no-till with one-to-weight at the cover crop compared with mobile alone or no-till alone without any cover crop. And this was because the decomposition of one-to-weight residue needed some nitrogen from the soil. And that reduced the nitrogen availability for the following soybean crop to take up. So that's why during the early season, you can see leaf nitrogen concentration was reduced by the cover crop of one-to-weight. However, you see, at the end, there was no yield difference for all the three treatments averaged over the 2 years or for each individual year. So there was no yield difference. And the same here, at the end of maturity, you can see nitrogen concentration in different plant tissues or nitrogen uptake by different plant tissues did not differ either. So the negative impact of cow crops on nitrogen nutrition only occurred during the early season. It had nothing to do with the yields or with the nutrient removal by the end of the crop. So the third one was the crop rotation study. You can see there was no yield difference between and continuous corn and corn rotated with another crop. And same thing, there was no yield difference between continuous soybean and soybean rotated with another crop. I mean, this is good for our state. During the past several years, actually, there are lots of producers. They grow like a continuous corn or a continuous soybean because of the crop prices. So they wanted to do it in that way, and based on the results, really there was no damage from like a continuous corn or soybean cropping compared with rotated soybean or cotton production. Cotton yields here actually was a little bit different. 2015, there was no yield difference between the two, continuous cropping and cotton rotated with soybean. However, in 2013, continuous corn actually had lower yields than cotton followed by corn. So in summary, heavy rich and one-to-weight improved cotton sulfur nutrition. No-till improved cotton manganese nutrition during the early to mid-growing season. And no-tillage resulted higher cotton yields than conventional tillage, but there was no yield difference among with or without cover crop. And one-to-weight reduced soybean nitrogen concentration during the early growing season, and soybean has similar yields for mobile plowed no-till and no-till plus one-to-weight as a cover crop. And there was no yield benefit from cotton or from corn rotated with corn rotated with cotton, soybean rotated with corn, or cotton rotated with soybean compared with their monocultures respectively. And at the end, I'd like to thank USDA and NASA-CIG and the technical supporting staff at UT for their contributions. And with that, thank you.